going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That's what I'm saying. I know what I got with Mac Jones. I'd go with the unknown Shador. Oscar in Stockton wants to join the conversation. Oscar, top of the top, good morning to you, sir.
Man, good morning, Joe. How you guys doing this morning?
Oh, great.
Man? You know, I hear the conversation. The first topic, I'll touch on the Shador Sanders topic. You know, and give a shout out to Marshall Falk, playing my brother at San Diego State. So my thing is that with Shador, whichever team pass him up is going to regret it. This young man has been raised to be a pro. Not only that, he played a typical quarterback position. He'd been trained by Tom Brady, and just because he got an arrogance, he wear gold and jewelry. So what? So what? He got the swag because he can back it up. And if you guys want to pay Brock Purdy $55 million a year, okay, here go your franchise, straight up. And you talking about Mac Jones? Mac Jones can't compete with Shador Sanders, so I want everybody to pass him up. So the team that get him is going to be the that's going to be the team that's going to surpass the rest of these teams. I'm telling you off the top. So with that saying, yeah, I know he's not going to the Raiders, but if he go to the 49ers, you guys, hey, you guys, a win-win-win situation. But with that, I'm with the Warriors situation today, man, because I'm out here in Stockton. Somebody stole my flag off my car, but I got another. I have backup. So people don't understand the impact of Steph Curry. I'm tired of everybody keep on talking about Steph Curry is not a point guard. He's a point guard because if you're watching the ball game, when he moves without the ball, the whole team watches him. That's why we got so many backdoor cuts and so many open jump shots. And tonight, people are going to watch Pazemski, Moody, Post. All the young guys are going to step up, and we're going to go 2-0. I'm tired of ESPN and all the rest of these talk shows talking about Curry and the Warriors and Steve Kerr. You know what? They got to stand up, man. We got to represent and have a strong back, man. The Warriors are not overlooking the Houston Rockets. We're going to go up 2-0, and we're on our way to the next round. I'm not going to say championship, but that's our goal. So everybody stand up, man. So Shador Sanders, yeah. The NFL draft is later on. That's good and dandy. But we're talking about the Warriors today. I'm tired of everybody trying to disrespect the Golden State Warriors, man. Stand up, Bay Area. Let's go. I'm pumped up today on a hump day Wednesday. You guys have a good day, Joe. I listen to you guys all day, every day, 95.7 The Game. Hey.
Dude, that's a walk-off right there. That was strong to end that call on a hump day. He's all in on Shador Sanders, and everyone's going to be regretting passing on him as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And you heard it from Oscar.
I want to make sure.
Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Now you can. What do you want?
All right, so we're now done with Brock, and
didn't say that.
We're trading him away.
Didn't say we were done with him. We said the price point, we might be done with him, and if we can pay Shador Sanders less for similar production, maybe you think about it.
You don't even believe what you're saying.
No, you're smiling. I'm just smiling back at you.
You're literally ear to ear.
Because this is great. This is maybe, like, tell me, The talk show host in you, Joe Shasky, would not be loving Shador Sanders.
They'd sell a ton of jerseys. There's
Shador
no doubt about it.
Would be box office here.
I think it would be one of the riskiest things they've ever... trading away Brock right now, right, and not paying him, and then going back and taking Shador Sanders. It would be filled with risk. Filled with risk.
Of course. It'd be one of the riskiest picks since the Trey Lance one, which blew up in their face, obviously.
Yeah, right.
It did. But, again, what came out of that? You got Brock Purdy, so it worked out. And now you got Brock Purdy now, and a lot of Niner fans...
Oh, you take two quarterbacks then, not just Shador. Take somebody in the seventh, too, just to be sure.
Hey, well, you know what? The Atlanta Falcons did it last year. Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins, not the same situation,
but
I'm
saying... If the
Falcons
are doing it, you know it's a good move.
Hey, they're playing for a playoff spot. You laugh. Yeah,
Spadoni, I could get 10
guys here in this building, and we
could compete for a playoff spot in the NFC South.
You have opportunity to laugh at the Falcons if you're a Niners fan right now. The Falcons had an opportunity to actually make the playoffs
in
last
the
year.
NFC South.
It doesn't matter.
The Niners have been infinitely... The Niners
yeah,
have
but
been
you're
infinitely
laughing.
Don't
sit
here and say
no,
the Falcons
no, no,
are doing
no, no,
it's a
please,
good move.
Please, turn off the mic, please.
I will not.
No. You cannot sit here and laugh at the Falcons when you missed the playoffs last year.
That's me laugh at the Falcons.
No, you are the Niners who just missed the playoffs entirely. Why are you better than
Atlanta?
The
Falcons would not trade...
No.
I mean, the Niners would not trade places with the Falcons over the last 5 years.
That's fine. I'd actually... Michael Penix as the future quarterback for me? I might like that a little bit more. We'll see.
Look. I can be skeptical about paying him $55 or $60 million, but I can also acknowledge, like, Brock has won some big-time playoff games.
Sure.
And some big games. Like,
yes.
I like Michael Penix as a player.
Then
I do.
Pay
I like
him the
Penix.
Money. He's
but,
a good quarterback.
Like, we'll see how some of these guys play in the playoffs.
You can't have it both ways and say, I like Brock Purdy. He's won some big games, but I don't want to pay him over $40 million a year. Like, it pays to play in the
NFL.
This
is what happens when you're car shopping or house shopping. It's like, hey, I really like this vehicle. I like this home. I just don't love that sticker price, right? Like, we can be reasonable about these things, right? Like, there's nuance to it. But to say, like, some undrafted player, some drafted player who we admit is a roll of the dice, there are no locks. Like, if there were locks, then Chicago would have took Jaden Daniels last year.
This time last year, you felt like Brock Purdy was a lock. How much did your opinion change from him after this past year?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I want to get rid of him.
No, I'm asking, how much did your opinion of Brock Purdy change this past year?
I've lost a lot of confidence in him. That being said, I still think he's the right guy. You know, what's the price point? Like, if he's saying take it or leave it at 65, well, then that's a different story. We'll have that conversation. But, like, trade him away and then go draft Shador Sanders, which is just a straight-up dice roll.
Real quick, why are we talking about that? Peter Schrager, Bill Simmons, The Ringer Podcast, talking about teams that may potentially pick Shador Sanders late in the draft if he were to fall.
So it's completely insane, but also you could see it. Is there a team?
There's two teams.
Okay.
Not at 11, but you're telling me Shador's still on the board at 30, 31, 32, and we've got Brock Purdy talking about where he wants and what he wants. The San Francisco, you know, pull the plug and just say, screw it. We'll take two young quarterbacks. We'll see. We'll still sign for maybe, you know.
So not at 11, but maybe a trade back.
There you go. It'd be insane, but you can kind of see it. And that was it. 888-957-9570.
I'm going to call it what it is. Like, if they end up doing something similar to that, like, the clock has started for all of them. Like, not if you don't look. I'm just like the magnitude of this is of not paying Purdy. You know he's solid at minimum. He's solid. Like, we could haggle over a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there, and that's fair. But if you just trade him and then you try to draft somebody else, we could all acknowledge like, all right, you're in trouble. Shador better be a superstar. He better be better than Brock almost immediately.
You mentioned,
which is it's not fair, but it is what it is.
Yeah, if you're considering doing that, the franchise tag has to be in play.
There you go. Great call. Ian Rappaport.
Meaning that the contracts are so far apart.
Exactly.
No, but Purdy needs to be franchised.
He was franchised. Like,
okay,
like Kirk Cousins
then that's,
back
yes,
in the day.
Yes.
Yeah, with Washington.
I mean, this just sounds like an insane conversation.
No, it is insane. Well, that was what he... insane, but you can kind of see it, right? That's what they were talking about. Ian Rappaport on where the Purdy contract negotiations are.
Well, let's start with the Brock Purdy situation. Him showing up today was a positive development for the 49ers. It doesn't necessarily mean that negotiations are closed. Doesn't mean that a deal is imminent, but it does mean, to my understanding, that at least the conversations are going well enough that Brock Purdy felt compelled to show up. And you're right. You mentioned it coming into this thing. He's going to be one of the higher paid quarterbacks. No doubt going to be a $50 million per year quarterback. It's just where does he slot in that $50 million? There's a big range between, let's say, 50 and Josh Allen and Jordan Love and so many others who are at the 55 mark, let alone Dak Prescott, which is 60. But the fact that Brock Purdy can sort of avoid the distraction of it, show up, that is a very good sign.
That's a very good sign. Juxtapose that with what's going on with George Kittle, who did not show up yesterday for OTAs.
The George Kittle situation is a little more challenging to me. Looking for his third contract, still one of the best tight ends in the NFL. The fact that Trey McBride just became the highest paid tight end in the NFL makes me wonder if George Kittle, and you know, certainly his play has warranted it, George Kittle wants to surpass that, and do the 49ers do that on a third contract? They have had not a ton of progress yet. He is not there, and definitely one of the bigger questions for the 49ers this offseason.
And draft is tomorrow.
I love that Purdy showed up because to me there's a big difference between for a quarterback of just not showing up at all and holding out and then and just being there. That tells me, like, in good faith, whether real or not, it feels like he wants to be a Niner, which is great. And it feels like they're closer than anticipated. If he doesn't show up, just the way I perceive it is, wow, they're really far apart. I don't care about Kittle, like, not showing up. Kittle has been there through thick and thin. I think his resume kind of speaks for itself.
I'm questioning whether a Lamar Jackson would have done what Brock Purdy just did. Like, would Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or guys like that...
I believe Burrow was a hold-in.
Was he a hold-in?
Yeah, I believe. Jackson was not.
Yeah, I don't think Lamar showed up. And again, like, to each their own. This is negotiation. So, like, had he not shown up yesterday, I would have understood, like, the negotiation aspect. But again, to your point, it would have been a bad look, I think, that your leader of your franchise, the quarterback who's supposed to be the leader of all teams' franchises, did not show up, or the supposed leader of that locker room and team, the heart and soul of it, George Kittle, he didn't show up yesterday. So what does that signal?
Kittle doesn't practice a lot, and this isn't like a big time deal in terms of practicing.
It's a big time deal though when it comes to the finances.
But he's also 31 and has a 10-year record of being here. And Purdy, you know, is the quarterback. So I view these things very differently. Being there as the quarterback just stabilizes things. Even if you don't practice, but you're there and you're in the meeting rooms. And it also, I think it sets a good tone. Like, hey guys, I'm here. Come on. Like, you guys should be here. Like, I'm here. We can all be here. Like, I think this is well played by Brock Purdy. I do.
All right. We got one more segment coming up here. We're going to take a quick break. Come on back on the other side. 888-957-9570. Warriors Rockets game 2. Start lining them up. 888-957-9570. It's not a must win. But if you win tonight, psychologically, the series is all but over. This is a must-win for the Rockets.
Wow.
This is a must-win for the Houston Rockets. So taking all that into consideration, Dub Nation, 888-957-9570, would a win tonight for you mean more than, you know, I don't even know. Like, for me, you win tonight, that guarantees you in the next round, you will have that rest probably built in, which at this point in the season, rest is the best reward for this team going forward. Because I think that series on the other side is going to be a dogfight between the Lakers and T-Wolves. So taking care of business tonight would be massive. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky. We're going to put a bow on this conversation on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Safeway.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Instacart is on a mission.
to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Is it 21 now?
Yeah, it's 21 now. Back
don't
then,
do cigarettes, kids.
Yeah, no, don't. Don't.
Disgusting.
It's gross. And it smells and stinks everything up. It's just, yeah.
It's not attractive.
You know what is attractive, though? Joe Shasky and Sam Lubin, when they're talking about Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcasts, and you can find them talking about the best Giants talk in the world. I just butchered that, but it's okay. And Steven Rizzotto sometimes fills in. Paisan, it was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Steven.
What, he turned 16 again?
I think 15 or 23.
He's like 12.
We love you, Steven. He's just like, wow, I'm catching this many strays. He's also, I kind of made fun of him because when he's one of those guys that tweets about it. He's like, yeah, you know, it's my birthday. I was like, you like to let it, like, let people know that it's your birthday. There's people like that. That's fine. I'm the opposite. I don't let anyone know it's my birthday unless someone else brings it up. And it's okay. If some people want to toot their own horn, that's fine. Catch the latest episode where Lubman and Shasky talk about the biggest holes in the Giants lineup and what options the Giants have to turn in the ninth inning. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts. And also, Dave Fleming talked about that. So I think we're overreacting about Ryan Walker and his blown save. And then Camilo Duvall getting the save the day after. He did say something about his back, though, that actually kind of had me concerned, and his rest and his availability going forward. And if you missed any of that interview with Dave Fleming, find it on the Odyssey app or on YouTube, where we are streaming right now. Joe, game two tonight. We got one more segment. I want to hear from the people. 888-957-9570. Do what we did with game one. Who wins and why? I think this is a huge potential momentum game tonight, one way or the other. If the Rockets win, they got hope. Warriors win, no hope for Houston. None. Zero. Zilch. Night-night. See you later. That's where I'm looking at it tonight. So if you start off fast and keep this thing within single digits in the fourth quarter, I like the Warriors to pull out a win. You just got a hand-delivered coffee, by the way?
Yeah, there's nothing better than the 9 o'clock hand-delivered coffee by my 6'8 bodyguard, Carter.
Must be nice. Look at what you get. Well, come on.
I got
don't
a little
be shy.
Phil's coffee. It's okay. Delicious, but I like all coffee.
You're roasting on the morning roast with some Phil's. That's fine. They're very strong in their coffee. What do you do to your coffee?
What do you mean, what I do? I drink it.
Okay, smart ass. What is your options?
A little cream, a little oat
what
milk.
What kind
or
of
something.
Cream? Okay, oat milk. All
it
right.
doesn't matter. Like, I prefer non-dairy now.
Okay,
a little older. The tummy doesn't really, you know, settle well with
Joey's
it.
Joey's tum-tum hurts.
I told you, I'm a big forager guy. It's got three ingredients: salt, oats, water.
Forager?
Forager is the... Is
not
the
Folgers.
No, okay. Forager is the okay. oat milk that I prefer.
Okay, fair enough. So there
I think
you
it's,
go.
I think it's an elite brand.
All right.
And
never iced, always hot?
Now, my son drinks Horizon Organic Milk, like, all the time.
Oh, you got to go organic.
He just the, he loves
to.
The
whole
good
milk
stuff.
Always.
All the vitamin D's.
Dude, I smashed
a lot of vitamin D's.
I smashed like two donuts yesterday and like a glass of whole milk before bed.
It's the best.
It's probably why I didn't sleep very well last night. It's probably the reason why it was not a great time for me out there.
When we were kids growing up, like we would drink, I'm not kidding, an entire gallon of milk a day in the Shasky house.
No, my mom had to buy 2 full gallons when she'd go to Costco because, you know, I'm one of 10 siblings and that's all we would drink. So there you go, whole milk. And I did not like it when when it got room temperature, it's gross.
Look at Carter's. No, it's not gross.
No, it is. Room temperature milk is disgusting. I will fight anyone on that. It's the grossest thing ever. Like when parents try to say, let me warm you up some milk so you can go to sleep. What? Why would that help? That would make me nauseous, if anything. Disgusting.
My cousin, so we used to go to these Reardon camps. It was called Crusader Camp back in the day. You get these like gold chalices. Uh-huh. They're these plastic cups, right? And they'd have the Crusader logo on them. And if you were a good athlete, you'd have hundreds of these cups. If you were one of the, you know, poorer ones, you wouldn't get as many poor athletes. You wouldn't get one of the cups, right? So we'd had all these gold and purple cups and stuff.
You Flavor Flav with the chalice, the flavor of love.
Well, that was my cup.
Pour one out when you eliminate someone.
And my cousin Mike had this giant, like, McDonald's-like cup. It was a USA Dream Team cups that they used to give away. I don't know if you remember
these. Sick. No,
It was faded. He would fill this entire cup up, this chalice of milk, and slam it down in like one guzzle. The Schindler boys would drink, I'm not kidding, a gallon of milk with each meal.
What are they, bodybuilders?
Well, they're giant German Vikings. They're just giant. If you've met my cousins, they're just big dudes.
Okay, they're four.
And they
would just
guzzle milk. They're ready. Milk was big in our family. Now I know it's like not healthy for you and
moderation with everything. Yeah, 2%, 1% oat milk. It doesn't matter.
Bro, if I could see through the milk, are you really drinking milk?
That's gross. Yeah, I don't like 2% or 1%. I still drink whole milk and I'm 31 years old going on 32. Reason to be optimistic tonight if you're the Rockets. Ryan Hollins joined us at 6:50. Rockers TV color analyst, 10-year NBA vet, formerly of First Take, ESPN. Ryan Hollins said a lot of things in that interview, by the way, that we can touch on again. But this one is what he talked about in regards to optimism for Houston tonight.
But I'm extremely optimistic for tonight. Houston actually did a lot of things well in that last game. And I'm going to give you one thing that really stands out for me. What really stands out for me is that Houston was able to be physical. If Golden State was more physical and they won that battle, think Houston ends up with 20 offensive rebounds, I'd be extremely concerned. And that's a huge part of why they struggled in that second quarter. But because they were able to win the rebounding battle and be physical and do elements of what they do well, I think there's a huge chance for Houston to win this game tonight.
See, I think it's as simple as they just need to hit shots. When they have open shots, they need to hit them.
So who do you fear? If you're the Warriors and you could take away one particular person, who is the guy that you try to take away from the Houston Rockets?
Well, listen, Şengün's going to get his. The Warriors can't match his size. He's that guy. He's that dude. Am I fearing Jabari Smith? Well, he played 25 minutes, but he didn't shoot the ball a whole hell of a lot.
I like him as a player.
I do like him, too. So maybe Ime Udoka says, hey, you need to shoot more in this game, and a little less from Fred VanVleet, a little less from Jalen Green, a little more Jabari Smith. So maybe it's that. It's whoever has the hot hand in this game outside of Şengün for me. I don't know who it's going to be, Joe, because quite frankly, everyone else kind of sucked shooting the ball. Amen Thompson, maybe. He was 4 of 9.
No, I don't fear him.
He was 4 free throws, 2 in a row.
It's VanVleet for me. I know he's had a really poor shooting numbers.
I think the size of the Warriors just bother him.
Yeah, but
he's 6 feet tall.
He's the only real, like, what I would consider, like, good shooter in terms of, like, guy that you definitely need to honor to some degree. I know his shooting numbers have been very poor the last, 2 months. Steiny was rat-a-tat-tatting.
He's been awful, specifically against the Warriors, too. Horrible.
But I do worry about him getting hot. Like, Dylan Brooks, he'll hit a couple early. It's like, that's a good thing, because you know he's going to miss late. I have zero fear of Dylan Brooks being clutch in terms of long-range shooting.
Although this is a career year for him from beyond the arc. He's actually been pretty good this year, shooting the three-point ball.
But in a game that matters,
I hear you.
I'm going back to not trusting him. Amen Thompson. No, I fear him in transition. I fear him around the rim. I don't fear him from beyond 15 feet. Now, Jabari Smith's another guy I would put into this category. I think you're going to see a lot more of him. The other guy that we haven't brought up is Tari Eason.
He was bad.
He was, but
Shooting the ball.
I worry about him a lot. I think he's an X factor for them.
I thought he was bad shooting the ball defensively. I thought he was flying all over the place, but they had a lot of bad and knuckleheaded turnovers. Jabari Smith was one of those guys who, although he shot the ball well, he had 4 turnovers. Like, that can't happen. That's why he's going to keep his minutes probably down in this game. Do we see anyone? Do we see a Reed Sheppard, right? Do we see something like that? Do we see an adjustment there? Steve Kerr talked to Willard and Dibbs yesterday, Joe, and he says he doesn't expect massive changes from the Rockets in Game 2.
I would say most coaches wait until after two games to make a major adjustment, whether it's a rotational addition or a scheme change. I don't expect, massive changes from Ime. They know who they are as a team. They've had a great year. They have a real identity. And we kind of know, they're going to be physical, and they're going to defend, and they're going to rebound. And I don't think too much will change from that philosophy.
I mean, he says two games, but if the Rockets lose these two games and their home court is kaput, it's not looking good for them. So I do think in this game, if things aren't going well, they don't like a matchup, they will pivot very quickly, and maybe they go to a player on the bench that can shoot the ball just a little bit better, because the Rockets can't be as bad as they were shooting the ball on Sunday. And conversely, I think the Warriors and their role players can step up and shoot the ball a whole hell of a lot better.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about, whatever their shooting numbers are throughout the regular season. I'm looking at, just this matchup, right? And I'm thinking to myself, anything Şengün gives you, to me, is you just kind of, accept it.
Correct.
If I'm the Warriors. If he goes for 40 and nobody else is hitting from the outside, I actually think that plays right into the Warriors' favor.
It was kind of like when the Warriors would play the Cavs with the Kevin Durant era, where you knew you're probably going to win the series, and LeBron's going to get his 40, 45, whatever. What are the others doing?
I was
right?
going to go Mozgov, but okay, LeBron.
Sure. But LeBron always does it. I'm saying he's their best player.
Yes.
Şengün's their best player. I know they're going to do that. I know Anthony Edwards for the most part, or Ja yesterday, right? They're probably going to get theirs. Desmond Bane, I can't let him get hot, right? I can't get the Santi Aldamas of the world getting hot, right? So I think you mentioned Amen Thompson. You don't really fear his jump shot, right? It's him trying to get to the hoop, get to the lane.
Well, it's him getting, it's basically in transition.
In transition, right?
This is where this
a
team,
full
I
head
think.
Of steam.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw was it Tari Eason with the block the other day?
Oh, that was a sick block.
The athleticism from some of these guys on this team is tremendous. And so you're trying to limit the live ball turnovers, because you're never going to be able to compete with them getting back on D. You're just not. And you want to have a set defense ready to go in the half court. And then I'm mixing it up. Maybe it's a little man to man. Maybe I'm doubling certain guys to get the ball out of their hands. But I think the big thing that I noticed from the Warriors is they force the Rockets into late shot clock execution. And they just don't have a lot of guys who can create off the dribble for themselves.
A player that's interesting for me, and while he's not a great offensive, you don't look at this guy to shoot or score a lot, but he was super active. He was the only player that was a plus category in the plus minus for the Rockets on Sunday. By the way, could you guess?
Steven Adams.
There you go, right there. Steven Adams was a plus +4, and he played 20 minutes for them, 3 of 4. He had 5 offensive rebounds and 12 boards.
Here's what I would do with him, though. If he catches the ball, hack him.
Yep.
Make him shoot free throws. I would rather...
0 for 2. Hack a Shaq.
He might have shot
hacking at him.
The worst free throw I've ever...
I said that in the chat. He clanked it to the side, didn't hit the rim, barely grazed the backboard.
I would rather airball than miss that bad.
It was awful.
It was so bad. Honestly, he's the only NBA player in the league that I might take our audience over in the... What do you call it? The knockout tournament.
You would even take my jump shot over him.
So bad.
There you go.
He has to consider shooting.
I made it to the finals, people. My ball went in. It might look ugly. It went in. Okay, Joe? Hey, I made it to the finals. Where'd you go in that knockout?
I was knocked out immediately.
Thank you. Moses Moody, by the way. We haven't played any of this.
I love how this is like a referendum on my athleticism.
Well, no, it's not. Just letting people know that some people are built.
Where did you grow up, punk?
Some people are built for the free throw line in big moments, like Sasha Vujicic, game 7 of the NBA Finals, soaking wet off the bench. Didn't play a whole game, comes
you
in.
Say the name Sasha Vucevic. I think of him with the thin little headband, the soccer flailing. God, he drove me nuts.
Moses Moody said something yesterday, and he was on with Steiny and Evan filling in for Goo. Goo back today, by the way. But Steiny and Evan yesterday, Moses Moody joined them, and this is what he had to say about the Warriors and their chances over Houston.
I think we can score better than them in the half court. Definitely. They bring a lot of pressure. So as long as we can control the ball, limit turnovers when it comes down to it, I think we're a better team. So the more that we can use that and not let them just play fast and get out of it, then I think it'll be better for us.
We're a better team is what he said there. We're a, quote, We're a better team.
You know, in the words of Berner, it sounded like there were seashells clicking in the background of that phone call.
FBI
were the feds listening to Moody?
FBI was tapping in. Oh, Agent Harris from The Sopranos tapping in there.
What was going on there?
Yeah, it was not a great connection there, but hopefully the connection is better.
And that was on what show?
That was with Steiny and Goo yesterday.
How did they get all the good guests?
Well, not the best lines, though, clearly there.
You know, it is a trip, and I'm going to tell Guru this when I see him. I love him dearly, and I know, look, we all have things going on.
Are you taking a shot at Goo right now?
He's the anti-Cal Ripken of this station.
Come on. He was going through some serious stuff, and it's just, come on.
He'd get a good chuckle out of that.
You were out Friday and Thursday.
With the game on the line, who do you rely more on, Andrew Wiggins or Guru? It's a joke. It's a joke, people.
Was Guru a first one eliminated in the knockout tournament again this year?
Me and him both. Like,
does Daryl the Guru Johnson owe us an explanation?
Yeah,
hey, let's not go down that road.
I wonder if Guzin on Shador to the Niners. He might be.
Would love Shador to the Niners.
Here's more on Moses
Just
Moody.
Just for the content.
Right? Here's more from Moses Moody. Real quick, did you like him saying we're a better team than the Rockets? Like, outwardly, he just said that. We're a better team than them.
Yeah, but I don't think he meant it in a disrespectful way.
Well, is there any other way to say it than just saying we're a better team?
Like, I think athlete belief is a different thing than, like, oh, we think they're not good at all. Like, that's a completely different thing.
Like, would he have said that if they're going up against the Lakers next round, is what I'm saying? I don't know if he would have said that. Like the Rockets feels like we could talk about the Rockets because they haven't shown or proven anything in this league, right? We're a better team than them. Right? But I mean, why are you looking at me like that? I'm just saying.
I mean, they are.
Okay. All right.
And they're going to go out and they're going to prove it.
Well, then they should tonight and go up 2-0 is what I'm saying.
I didn't think it was some malicious thing.
No, I was just asking if how'd you feel about that as a fan, your guys saying like that. I don't mind. And Moses Moody is such like an old soul and like he's so calculated, such a smart player. And he's like really his personality has shined a lot on the court, I feel like, this year because we've seen finally a happy, consistent Moses Moody on the court. That's why I think those shots that he had in the fourth quarter
are huge.
So huge for the mentals for him. And I know Anthony Slater, he mentioned yesterday, he's like, oh, yeah, Moses Moody, he's played in the playoffs before. Remember, he had to take over for Wiggins who got hurt in that Lakers series. I was like, yeah, but it's different starting. It always is, right? It's always different starting than coming off the bench. There's a mindset there that is different. There is a different weight on your shoulders early on in that game, and you find out if you're ready to be that key contributor. And I thought late in that game, he showed why he was. By the way, this one was great. More from Moses Moody talking about some of those crazy Curry shots that Ryan Hollins was mentioning. Kevin Harlan on the call saying geometrically that should not be possible. Well, you just expect it now at this point if you're Moses Moody.
It's sad to say it's really become kind of normal around here to see it so much. And it's still amazing. The same thing I've been watching since I was in middle school. But, you know, in the heat of the game, in the midst of it, you're just happy you win those games. And then you can unpack it a little bit later.
It's become kind of normal just to see Steph do the things that he does, which is insane. And will we have more crazy Stephen Curry shots tonight? He had so many in that game. Maybe he doesn't. That's just kind of how things happen, right? But the game that he had on Sunday, if he replicates that performance, 31 points, 12 and 19, 5 and 9 shooting, 6 boards, 3 assists, yeah, I think they're probably winning this game again. Like, if I'm Houston, I need to shut Stephen. I need to shut one of those guys down, right? Whether it's Jimmy or Steph, and force anyone else to step up on the Golden State Warriors, right?
Can you imagine if Buddy Hield had, like, a 15-point game?
No, I couldn't imagine it. It's been a while.
I can't even imagine a 15-point series.
That's... Wow.
Really?
Lubman off the top rope? Going John Cena on his ass? Damn.
I do think that Pods could have an explosion.
You can't see me, Sam.
I do believe that Pods could definitely have an explosion in the next couple of games because he's going to get a lot of wide open looks with all of the attention centered around Steph. And now they're going to put a little more attention on Jimmy Butler. And he's going to play in a lot of those overlapping lineups. So him having a 20-point-plus game, I don't think is out of the realm either.
You talked about Pods. Here's Steve Kerr yesterday on Willard and Dibbs talking about Pods and post and how they fared in their playoff debuts.
Thought they handled it well. You know, Brandon made some huge plays for us, really played well. I think it was great for Quentin to get really his first taste of the NBA playoffs. Brandon, has played 2 years now, so he's got a lot more experience than Quentin played in the play-in last year. But for both guys, it felt like the last couple of weeks have already been the playoffs, you know. And the Memphis game is absolutely a playoff game, whether they want to call it that or not. So, I don't know. I just think that young players need that experience. They need to feel that vibe. And these last few games have been really good for both guys.
I'm with them on like some of these games that aren't titled playoffs because they're at the end of the year. They were playoff games.
Yeah.
Because you were fighting for your life, essentially, and your season.
No.
So I 100% agree with them.
Quentin Post, he's an interesting one tonight because I do think he could be a key factor in the series. He just has knockdown shots. Can he knock down some shots early, get some confidence early in this game? And that's what it comes down to, that word.
Quiet the crowd.
Quiet the crowd. Like, and again, they were pretty quiet for most of that game. Like that, for most of that game, they were pretty damn quiet.
And I think they're going to know. Like if it's the second half and it's, you know, Warriors up by 6, 7, 8, you're going to feel the tension in that fourth quarter.
What is it? Lemon booty, what Bonte likes to say? Yeah, a lot of tight butts
lemon
in that
booty.
Arena.
What is it called? Lemon booty is looming large.
Lemon booty is looming large. Yeah, puckering up. Puckering up right there. No, for sure, though. Like, if it's true. Houston, they're 0-4 against this team in the playoffs. There's a psychological edge that the Warriors just have over this team where I'm like, it's almost the reverse of what the Chiefs have over the Niners is what the Warriors have over the Rockets. All the big games, all the big moments, their best teams, the Rockets' best teams in the playoffs the last 2+ decades since Hakeem and all of them, like, have been the James Harden and Chris Paul Rockets, and they just could not get over the hump. So for them to finally get back to the playoffs, only to play the Warriors again, yeah, I'd be like, God, are you serious? Again?
Well, it's because, you know, Yao should have been ours.
Oh, that's why.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's okay. The curse of Yao.
Please.
Yao, we lost the most amount of games that year. Yao was the number one player coming out, and we should have had him. We ended up with the third pick.
Well, it all worked
it
out.
It was a travesty.
If you kept Yao Ming, you might not have gotten Stephen Curry.
Well, so, and also,
a butterfly effect.
We wouldn't have had Mike Dunleavy, and now Mike Dunleavy wouldn't be the GM currently.
Look at, see? It all works out. It all worked out. Steve Kerr, more on him talking about the whole Curry stopper notion that Amen Thompson was supposed to be, it's kind of laughable.
He sees everything. He hears everything. He just has the right sense of how to motivate himself, you know, and how to play at the best of his ability when the best is needed. I mean, it's a brilliant quality that only the very best competitors share, and Steph has it.
There is no blank stopper when it comes to superstar athletes. There's no Kawhi stopper. There's no Jokic stopper. There's no Curry, LeBron, Luka stopper. Like, none of these guys have stoppers to them. You can try to, like, make it more difficult for them, like, and try to, like, efficiency-wise and try to get in their face and try to get in their domes. They might have a game here or there where it's like, all right, it wasn't their best. But you're not stopping them, ultimately, from getting what they want. That's just what the great ones do. The top 10 players in the history of the sport, that's what they do. And Stephen Curry's no different than any of those guys. He might look different. He might be smaller in stature than comparison to all those other guys, but he can get his shot off whenever he wants still.
Yeah, the days of holding a guy to, like, you know, 8 points or whatever is more about that particular offensive player's given night than it is about the defense.
Correct.
But that being said, your inefficiency aspect is 100% real. Like, think about Luka Doncic versus Wiggins a couple years back.
Yeah.
They just made him work for everything.
Yep.
Right? They made him work for everything. And even though his numbers looked good, like, if you watch the games, it was very inefficient. And it felt like every pass he made to a teammate was like, please do something with this.
Right.
Because I can't do much.
Well, I looked at that Luka game against the Warriors a couple weeks ago, right? Where it's just like, wow, that was like one of the worst games I've seen Luka Doncic play in quite some time. And again, you chalk that one up and the Warriors won and Pods had that game. And then I watched Luka last night just absolutely dominating Rudy Gobert. Like, things change. Like, the great ones, they'll find a way to win when it matters most.
I remember when Dellavedova was considered the Steph stopper.
Deli!
It was the worst. It was just the absolute most ridiculous thing
the
I've
original
ever seen.
Deli boy, Dellavedova?
Come on. That's good.
How's Deli boy feel about this series, by the way? He's locked in?
Deli boy thinks that this is going to be short and quick.
Okay, I do too. Yeah. I predicted sweep. And if they win tonight, I think a lot more people are going to start coming over to my aisle. Win tonight, the series psychologically is all but over. On paper, you still got a couple games to go, but psychologically, Houston cannot recover from a loss tonight.
I just wonder what Ime Udoka has got in store to just kind of generate some offense for them, especially if they're going to be in that zone. What is their counter? Is it personnel? Is it attacking a certain guy? They try to go at Steph, and Steph held his own.
I mean, is it a cop-out just to say what I've been saying? It's just knocking down shots when you're open to do so. And they were pressing a lot in that game.
They don't have a lot of good shooters.
Well, That's the problem, right? And the guys that were good shooters, or we think are good shooters, were DNPs, like the Reed Shepherds of the world, right? And Cam Whitmore, but they're young players. Again, but aren't all the Rockets players making their debut, basically? So what's the difference between a rookie and a non-rookie, right? Amen Thompson is a rookie. He starts playing 33 minutes, well, right?
Van Vliet, Dillon, and Steven Adams have a pretty good chunk of playoff.
A lot. I'd say a lot. Yeah.
You know, playoff experience.
Yes, they do.
And those are three guys that are in their top 7, 8 that are, you know, going to play a lot.
But that's where it's difficult when you know your top three, like, guys that you can lean on when it comes to experience aren't very good shooters.
And they're not your best player.
And they're not your best players. Like, that's tough. That's why.
Who is their best player?
Shengun.
You think he's their best player?
He's their best player. He's their all-star. He's their best player. He's the one.
Okay, I would agree.
He's the one that's going to get, as I was just mentioning, like, you can, like, make it more difficult for him. But Shengun's going to get some buckets. He'll get a double-double at least. Now, the efficiency is what you can mess with. The efficiency, absolutely. I don't want 11 of 18. And I thought they did a good job on the glass against him and not fouling. He only 3 of 4 from the line. He didn't get to the line a bunch. Like, that's what I don't want to see again tonight. Now, they did get to the line, but they were 11 of 20. Again, not a good shooting team when they get to the line. And you said hacking Adams? That's fine. If he's in the paint and you and your
just
pods,
make him hit some
if your
throws.
Pods or something, yeah. Moody and the size of their, just smack his arm.
And to me, I would continue to go single coverage against Shengun and not double him because it just anything he gets is fine. He's not going to go for 50 in a game and completely control the tempo and dominate that way. I would let him get his 25 to 35. And just the key for me is when he does miss, you got to rebound.
So if one of these guys, let's say Rockets and their game plan is tonight, Joe, they go, all right, Steph or Jimmy, one of these guys is not beating us. We just, one of them, we've got to just completely shut down. All right. Who for you on the scoring end needs to step up the most outside of those two guys in order to win tonight? Outside of Steph, outside of Jimmy, who's going to be that guy for you that you're looking at
looking
to pick
at,
it up?
I'm looking at Pods, because Pods has been quietly their third or fourth best player
He was their third leading scorer.
Yeah, I think Pods is not a name that people are going to bring up, but he gets a lot of opportunities to get the floater going. He gets a lot of like kind of unorthodox, multiple hand finishes around the rim. Mm-hmm. He's going to get wide open three-point looks. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. He initiates a lot of offense, typically is one of your highest plus-minus guys, so he's involved in a lot of positive contributions on the floor. I think Pods is the guy who I think can, because if he's getting 5-6 assists and he's scoring like 15, 16, 17 points, he's involved in almost 30 points of production.
Can I get a little bit more from Draymond Green? I'm with you on Pods there. Can I get just double-digit points? When Draymond Green, what's the stat? When Draymond Green scores like at least 10 points, the Warriors you have like a 75%, 80% winning percentage. Like, yeah. Really good. Yeah. Something like that. I'm paraphrasing here, but can I get a little bit more from Draymond on the offensive end? I know he's dealing with a load when it comes to Steven Adams of the world, when it comes to the Alperen Şengüns of the world. That's a lot for anyone, let alone an undersized big, if you will, in Draymond Green. So I know what he's going to give me defensively. Can I get a little bit more offensively? And Moses Moody to that point. Can I get a little bit more from him? I thought those were two big buckets in the fourth quarter for him, picking and choosing his spots smartly. The three-point shot still isn't there for him. 1 of 4 on Sunday. Can he get that up early?
You know my number.
Early.
It's 45 for those other guys. The Buddy Hield, Gee, Quint Post, Moody now, GP2, like 45 is the number for me.
And if you're going there, so Moody, like Pod, like you had Pod separate from those guys.
Pod is going to be separate.
Moody had 7 points. Gee Santos, 5. That's 12 points there. Buddy, 2. Right? That's 14 points. And then Gary Payton, that's 21 points. It's probably not going to be good enough tonight.
No.
That's not going to be good enough.
And then Gee, would he score 7?
He had 5.
5.
He had 5 points. So that was baked into it. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So, I mean, like, I'm telling you, like, 45 is a solid number for all those extras. You could throw Looney in there as well. But they all need, like, Moody, GP2, Looney, Gee, Buddy Hield. Like, I know it's an aggressive number, but that's what I'm looking for.
Buddy Buckets, God, could he have a game?
I mean, could you even throw Draymond in there now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, Draymond, I would like to just, yeah. Because for a stretch there, I know you were all in on Draymond as the scorer. And he quieted
down. He's cooled off. I think his legs were exhausted.
No, he's tired. Like, absolutely. That's
not anymore, though. That's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse anymore. But it's all the more reason why you should try to win this game and go all out to win this game tonight. I don't want to be here anything, oh, they're playing with house money. I don't want that mindset at all.
No.
I do not want, that's the last thing I want to hear tonight.
In the second half.
I'd be very disappointed.
either. Me too. I think you have to take advantage and step on their throats. The last thing you want is 3 days of confidence building as they head into Chase. And then what happens? Oh, they just win one at Chase. The next thing you know.
Yeah, no, that's the last thing I want in this series. It is this series in particular, because that's why I didn't want the Lakers or the Timberwolves or the Clippers, Nuggets, any of those teams in the round one, because I think any of those series would have at least have gone six games. I looked at that Rockets match and said, ah, man, you know what? I think you might be able to beat this team maybe in five games, at best maybe four if you're playing on all, like firing on all cylinders. So that's why it'd be so huge to finish things off tonight. Realistically, if you win tonight, I don't see any scenario where the Rockets win the series, but you do not want them pushing to six. And if they win tonight, I can absolutely see that baked into the equation. I don't want that, Joe. I don't want that smoke. Rest is so important for all these guys. I know they're not going to say it. I know they're not going to say, oh, you know, just, you know, going up to six games. Oh, yeah, we'll be fine. No. They're thinking in the back of their minds, hey, if we win tonight, we can finish this thing off, kick our feet up, watch the end of that Lakers-T-Wolves series. That would be gravy. Now, Anthony Slater talked about whether we underestimated or overestimated the Houston Rockets. Anthony Slater, who covers the Warriors right here in 95.7 The Game. It's a little bit of both, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, their problem was their half-court offense, 21st ranked in the league this year. They're a terror in transition. They do, 22 offensive rebounds is a lot, but that's not outrageous for the Rockets. You know, they were easily the top offensive rebounding team in the league this year, so they're going to keep doing that. They didn't turn the Warriors over enough, at least live ball-wise, right? A lot of the Warriors' turnovers were just like pass out of bounds or some stuff like that, and even when they did turn them over, their lack of offense didn't allow them to take advantage of it. But, the Warriors still are struggling to score against the Rockets. That's two straight games. They haven't got to 100 points themselves. So depends on, I guess the whole, are people now underestimating them? I mean, if you just think it's going to be an easy sweep and game two is going to be just like game one, yes, you probably are underestimating them. But I think what you should have been concerned about on the Houston side entering the series, and what, honestly, talking to Warriors people made them confident, was confirmed in game one. Half-court offense is a problem. No star scorers on the perimeter. Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, inefficient, and they win 95-85.
There's no perimeter player that you fear getting their own shot.
None.
And I think that's where, it's the reverse of the Lakers, whereas the Lakers have multiple guys on the perimeter, whether it's Austin Reeves, Luke, LeBron, who can initiate their own offense. It feels like this Rocket team does not have that one individual player.
And that's why, ultimately, I think if it's single digits and it's a close game, I know I got Jimmy Butler, I know I got Stephen Curry, and who do they have to get on their own shot? Amen Thompson? Yeah. Jalen Green? Dylan Brooks? No, it's not happening. You know what is happening, though? Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right. We flew by today. We touched on a lot. Shador Sanders got us fired up, man. Peter Schrager saying, hey, Shador maybe. But again, all tomorrow. It is draft day, but it's going to be Warriors-Rockets reaction day for us. Will they go up 2-0, Joe Shasky?
So, I just want to make sure we're clear. The guy who penned the phrase, I'd take Brock over Josh Allen, now a year later, I'm just making sure that
Whoa. I did not say I'd take him over all the teams. I said the 49ers, what they do best.
Uh-huh.
I prefer Brock Purdy this season over Josh Allen because he limits the turnovers. I mean, you know what happened to Josh Allen in the playoffs that year? He turned the ball over. Just letting you know.
Right. Like
Brock Purdy's actually been to Super Bowls, too. He's a more accomplished player than Josh Allen.
I mean, tonight's going to be another example of Jimmy Butler. Here's my final thought. You're going to see Jimmy Butler go for 25-8-8 tonight. And I do think the others are all going to step up. Draymond, QP, whatever combinations that you're looking at. The magic number is 100, people, right? If I can get over 50 from the combined Steph and Jimmy Butler, then I need another 45 or so. And I've done this all year, but I need to get that from whoever, Buddy, GP2, Moody, Quinn Post, Looney, and I'll throw Draymond Green in there. Before I had Pods, I took Draymond out of that equation. Now I'll throw Draymond Green in there. About 45, that's the sweet spot, because that means they're going to be around 100 points. Mm. It's first to 100 against this team. I don't think the Rockets can consistently score over 100 against our defense. I'm taking the Warriors tonight, and we're going to come back tomorrow morning, and we're going to be celebrating like it's 2022, baby. Let's go.
You're going to be locking in? All right. Lock in, Dub Nation. Shasky likes him tonight. What you got, Carter?
Magic number for me is 18. And 18 is the amount of points I think Pods needs to have tonight, minimum, for the Warriors to win. I think he's got to have a good game.
I like that number.
I expect, obviously, the two big dudes, Jimmy and Steph, to come to ready to play, but it's going to be on the role players tonight.
What's the over-under on Pods? Let me go to that right now. DraftKings Sportsbook. Pulling it up right now, Carter. By the way, Warriors 3-point dogs tonight.
I wouldn't want it any other way.
It's going to be 16.
Let me go. Player points. You're going to guess. You probably already looked at this, you liar. You're not guessing.
I didn't.
It's going to be 13. There you go. 13.
This team plays like against Memphis. Memphis has given up 117 a game. They're scoring like 120 a game. You know, the pace is different. Against this Rocket team, if you're going to go zone, they're going to be in a lot of late shot clock situations, which means you're not going to get as many possessions. That's what I'm telling you, man. The number for me is the magic number. First to 100.
Jalen Green's at it, plus 110 for 20 or more points. Yeah, I'm not touching that at all. Gross. Ugh. Jimmy Butler, by the way. 24 points or more, minus 110. Stephen Curry, 30 plus, is at plus 155.
54 for them combined. I'm probably...
Between the two, I would be higher on Jimmy Butler's over at 24 points is probably what I would go with. What is Sam Lubman going with today, though? That's the real question.
I'm going with the return of one Bryce Eldridge. Carter, if you could, please.
Space winds up and throws. Eldridge swings and hits it in the air, deep right. Lampy's backing. Lampy is at the fence, and that is gone. In his first at bat of 2025, Bryce Eldridge goes deep, picks up right where he left off last year, and this game is tied 1-1.
Love hearing that on the Richmond Flying Squirrels TV network. Not sure who's on the call for that, but I have no idea where that ball landed. I don't care. I want to see Bryce Eldridge up. You know who else is excited to see Bryce Eldridge potentially get called up soon? It's one Bob Melvin.
All right, we'll get him here now.
You didn't even see where it landed.
I don't need to.
That was Bob Melvin pregame yesterday when asked about the Bryce Eldridge home run. So, yeah, things percolating a little bit on the Bryce Eldridge front.
Friend of the program, Bob Melvin, here on the Morning Roast. Remember that? Mm-hmm. My final thought is, Warriors going up 2-0 tonight, baby. Lock it in, Carter. Lock it in.
Yay!
Get a stranglehold on this series. Kick your feet up. Come back. Go up 3-0 on Saturday. Sweep this team. And then you got all the rest in the world, and you can watch the T-Wolves and Lakers claw at each other and put up bricks like they were yesterday. Good God. The shooting performances in some of these Western Conference games has been putrid. The only team really shooting that well is Oklahoma City Thunder. Maybe just maybe we're all sleeping on them. But
did you notice what happened yesterday?
We are sleeping on them.
There was a filing to add some consonants to LeBron James's name.